Well, let's jump into talking about your first novel, Histopia.
Sure.
So go ahead and give those who are getting ready to run over to our bookstores. We've got some terrific ones here in Kalamazoo and pick up a copy. Give them an appetizer. What is it about?
Well, I can say, let me pitch it this way first, which is it is a total Michigan novel. I think in a way Michigan plays a major character. And it is a Vietnam novel, but I guess you could say it's an alternative history novel and a little bit a dash of science fiction tossed in. And I wanted to write about the 60s and my experience as a young guy growing up and having a lot of contact with Vietnam vets and with the Vietnam War when I was too young to actually be in it. It's a little hard to summarize in just a few, you know, catchphrases, but it is definitely a Michigan novel, 100%. I guess we can probably get into it a little more if you throw another question at me.
Well, let's talk about enfolding. And you've got this concept in here with these Vietnam vets with pain and suffering and trauma that there's this process of enfolding that wipes that out. The flip side of that coin is that it erases memory, too. Talk about how you came up with this idea, and if you step outside of your novel, is it a good idea?
Well, the novel itself, Histopia, is written by a Vietnam vet who returns to Michigan. I think, you know, he's from Benton Harbor in the novel, and he writes this novel called Histopia. So he imagines a world where there's a drug that allows you to enfold or tuck inside your brain your PTSD, your trauma. That allowed me to create a story where these characters are... they have a story, but they're not sure what it is. And it all takes place in this organization that John F. Kennedy, who happens to still be alive because Oswald missed, he missed his shot, hit him, but didn't kill him. And Kennedy decides to create this thing called the Psych Corps, which is a organization to cure the scourge of mental illness. And so they find a drug. They don't even know how it works. Of course, I don't think anybody really knows how most drugs work anyway. But it allows them to have this treatment process. Now, the whole novel is really about this character's sister and his loss of his sister. And it's actually a very personal story with me. I wanted to write about my own sister and find a way to do it. So... and then it becomes kind of a pursuit. It becomes a chase, and the two agents from this corps are chasing they're trying to rescue a young woman who's been taken hostage. And so it goes from Flint, where the headquarters are, up towards Petoskey, and then up to northern Michigan, where the hideout is. And it's, again, it's a little hard to articulate in just a few words, but that's the basic gist of it.
You mentioned your own sister. Was writing this book something of therapy for a trauma of your own?
Well, yeah, I think so many families, I have, I guess you could call them traumatic stories about my youth. It was such a, the late 60s and early 70s when I was, you know, basically a young kid, were just such a chaotic time. And my sister, she's a wonderful soul. I love her dearly. And she was kind of caught up in that age. And for a long time, I went around blaming some of her story on, you know, the culture of the time. So I think that it was something I wanted to write about for a long time. I wrote a lot of short stories, and then I finally got around to writing this.
You've got four story collections, and you've really earned a strong reputation for your skill as a short story writer. So this is the first novel. When I kind of poked around on what you've done and said in the past, back in 2010, I found this interview with Paris Review that you did, where you said, quote unquote, tempted by writing a novel, but it seemed like you were really resisting that going big rather than going smaller and tighter with a story was not that enticing for you. What changed?
Well, you know, the truth is when you're a writer and you're a short story writer like I was, everybody wants a novel. Where's the novel? Where's the novel? You know, that's basically all you hear because novels sell a lot. And I just, the more I heard that, the less I wanted to do one. And I tried a few times.
And you're
it didn't quite pan out. But then, to be honest, my father, I started this novel back at the beginning of the Iraq War, and my father died 2 years ago, and I received a Guggenheim Foundation grant to take a year off from teaching, and then I just had the time, and I also found the story that I wanted to tell. You got to have the story that you want to tell. You can't just create a novel just to create it. At least I can't.
So tell me a little bit more about that seed of the idea. How did you come up with the idea for this book?
Well, you know, I always wanted to write a Vietnam War novel. I also wanted to write a novel about family and about trauma. So, you know, I interviewed a lot of veterans over the years, a lot of Iraq vets when they came back, but also in particular several Vietnam vets, but one who became a close friend of mine. And then I interviewed a World War II vet for several days. So I just sort of accumulated all of these stories. And I also wanted to write a Michigan novel, if I do say so. I really wanted to somehow get that landscape in there. And so it just all kind of came together.
What do you think about memory, the importance of it? There are people who say, just pop a pill, take that antidepressant and get over it. And there are other people, more in the spirituality realm probably, who would say we need to feel that full spectrum of emotion. Yeah. We need to go through grief and loss and pain.
Yeah.
What did you learn about that? Or did you go into writing this novel and come out the same way or what?
Well, in writing the story, you can't just forget. You know, maybe some people can take a drug and just forget, but you can't. You can't forget it. And what they're finding with post-traumatic stress is that it's better to, in my novel, they reenact, part of the process of becoming better is to reenact the event that traumatized you. And I think you need to hear the story behind the pain. It's part of the healing process. You can't just forget. And, you know, the whole country wants to forget. I think on a political level, I mean, you know, there's this massive sort of like, let's not even remember. Let's not even think about the Vietnam War anymore. Mm. It's just over. Well, it's not. You know, it's not over. I think we're continuing the Vietnam War with the Iraq War. We're making the same mistakes right all over again. I won't get any more political than that. Exactly.
Is there something that you're hoping that your reader will get from reading this book, some kind of takeaway or an experience that you're hoping for?
Maybe it's a little bit of a, I don't want to be like a blowhard here and try to sell myself too hard like maybe Donald Trump would at some points.
Oh, you got political again.
No, I'm not. You know, I don't. I think what I'd like them to come away with is not just the story and the complexity of the story, but maybe going back and re-remembering and rethinking about the Vietnam War and the Vietnam vets. Mm. And also for the Michigan reader, I think it's also, I hope they can read it and have fun sort of seeing the little tiny jokes in jokes that maybe most Michiganders would get. There's a writer named Richard Ford, and he's from Michigan originally, and he read it and said he laughed out loud a lot, but he thought a lot of these jokes only people from our state would get. So
that could be.
I'm not sure about that, but we'll see. It's hard. It's actually very hard to sort of summarize what I hope people would get out of it, except maybe just a sort of entertainment at some level.
Now, you said that you spoke to a lot of veterans and not just Vietnam veterans to write the story. Are there other stories that have taken a place in your heart that maybe didn't make it into these pages that you'd like to share?
The thing is that in combat, when a soldier is in combat, they're actually in an experience, and I'm talking about actually fighting, they're actually in an experience that is almost universal. You know, it goes all the way back to, you know, the Iliad and Homer's Odyssey. I mean, that experience is almost like a cave painting or something. It's universal. So what I found talking to a lot of people and reading about it is that this experience, no matter what the war is, you know, it could be any war going all the way back, the actual experience of combat and the trauma of it is pretty much the same. So these guys come back and they have been through, and it's also an incredible bonding experience.
Yeah.
The love of soldiers for each other is profound, you know, and the caring for each other. So when you lose a fellow soldier in combat, it is such a horrific trauma of it's losing a loved one. And that experience is universal, and that goes all the way back too. It hasn't changed, and it probably will never change, you know, as long as there are these horrible things called wars. Talking to people, I sort of found out that everybody who was actually in combat had very similar experiences, emotional experiences. You know, they all went through the same thing at some level.
Do you think that'll change at all with technology and war becoming something more that we can do at a distance, or is that trauma just going to be the same?
I don't know. I do know that the guys that operate the drones, you know, even though they're in Texas when they actually do the shooting, do have post-traumatic stress. Mm. Killing another human being is not a natural thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're kind of taught that it sort of is, but when it comes right down to it, it's not. And most people have a horrible time doing it when they're told to do it. You know, you have psychopaths out there and you have people who are psychotic and do it as you know, in Kalamazoo. I mean,
yeah,
but the majority of people, it's a huge burden. And I don't even think the technology is ever going to get rid of that. Somebody's going to feel responsible.
Yeah. So it's the same whether you're pushing a button in Texas or whether you're face to face.
Yeah. I don't know if it's quite the same though. You know, on the other side of the coin, just to be contradictory, it's probably a lot easier just to push that button.
Yeah.
And that's incredibly scary.